Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drantz, live from the Kintec Studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber and Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome details at DunbarLumber.com. A lot to get into here in the final segment. We'll do the whiteboard momentarily. We'll hear from Rick Tocchet. We might hear from Thatcher Demko as well. We'll see about that. I do have to issue a correction. As multiple people texted in, I said they used dynamite to blow up the shark at the end of the Jaws. They put like the pressurized oxygen tank, and then they shoot it, and that's how they blow up the shark at the end of Jaws. So apologies for that one. Thank you to everyone in the inbox for keeping me accountable. All right, that's enough about Jaws. Let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, November 20th, starting with the headlines. The Canucks finished their six-game homestand with a 4-3 loss to the New York Rangers last night. And you look at the homestand in totality, you pick up 4 out of a possible 12 points. That's ugly, especially considering the competition coming into it. But if we're zeroing in on last night in particular and the way the day unfolded, finding out that JT Miller is taking an indefinite leave from the team for personal reasons, I find it pretty hard to be critical of last night's effort in particular. And Rick Tocchet agreed, saying that he felt they played really hard in that game.
It was a good effort. It was a really strong effort against a top team. The Canucks were outchanced ultimately. I thought the Rangers were able to carry play, especially in the first half of the game for much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Canucks got their chances, those were glorious chances. Like, they occasionally were able to take a real can opener to a Rangers defense that has trended in a very soft direction. And they got to Igor Shesterkin. I thought we saw a disappointing outcome, but the shape of how this team can hold the fort over the next few weeks, even if they continue to be without guys like Besser, Demko, and Miller.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we got a lot of texts in yesterday, right, talking about the Miller absence, and, you know, a lot of texts along the lines from fans of basically like, uh-oh, is this it? Is it season over time, basically, with these losses starting to mount? And I think if you were either pressing that panic button yesterday or considering pressing the panic button, not that the effort last night means, oh, okay, nothing to worry about, everything is going to be fine, but at least, you, as you said, you can see the shape. You can see that there's a path to maintaining.
Yes.
There's a path to holding the fort. It is feasible that they can do enough to, you know, not just stay in the playoff race, but as you say, maybe even stay in the race to win the division, depending on how long all of these absences are. So I think it, as frustrating as the 2-4 on the 6-game homestand is, I think last night's performance should do something at least to calm the waters a little bit here, right? Okay, yes, there's a lot that's going wrong for the team right now. There's a lot that they're up against, but there's still also a certain amount of talent and a certain baseline of quality that they're icing out there that they should be able to pick up some results along the way as they get set for this 6-game road trip. That's the big headline from last night. We talked about it, obviously, with Donnie and Dolly on the crossover and ourselves as well. So just to pivot a little bit to the broadsheet here right away, and, you know, I'll just note in brief, obviously, you know, we heard from Rick Dhaliwal yesterday on JT Miller. We heard from Patrick Johnston locally saying it's a reset. This is a player kind of mentally, physically in a tough spot right now who needs to step away and have a reset. That's been echoed by, you know, Frank Saravalli with Halford and Brough this morning, by Elliot Friedman. So that's the latest on JT Miller. And again, we understand details are going to be pretty hard to come by here, very understandably so. But just to, you know, in the interest of giving everyone all the information we have, that's what's out there pretty much unanimously from local and national reporters on the JT Miller leave of absence. The other thing I wanted to bring up in the broadsheet, speaking of Frank Saravalli, he published his first trade target board of the NHL season over at the Daily Faceoff today. And number one on the list, a name now very familiar to our listeners and that we've talked about a fair bit, is Marcus Pettersson of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I'll just rattle off the other defensemen. Only 15 names on this list, but I'll go through the other defensemen in order on the list. You tell me if there's anything that catches your eye here. Rasmus Ristolainen, or your ear, I guess. Nope. Ivan Provorov.
Interesting.
Mike Matheson.
Interesting.
Cam Fowler.
Nope.
Mario Ferraro.
Yes, interesting.
Alexander Carrier.
Love.
Interesting.
Carrier.
Yeah, now he's also probably like the least likely to move based on these rankings. You understand that, but yeah. But okay, so...
But so, honestly, the Matheson one stands out to me because Rutherford traded for him and Nick Bjugstad... No, he traded... What did he trade? That was a separate deal. He traded for Mike Matheson.
He did trade for Mike Matheson.
For Patrick Hornqvist.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Sorry, there was a separate deal. Bjugstad and McCann went to Pittsburgh for Brassard and some picks. It was a cap-clearing move. And Mike Matheson, who I worked with in Florida, first of all, college teammates and good friends with Thatcher Demko. So some in-house familiarity with some Canucks players, despite the fact that at one point he was hung in effigy by a now defunct Vancouver sports talk radio station at an event after he threw that hit that concussed Elias Pettersson during his rookie season. He's top one percentile athletic, even in NHL terms. Mm-hmm. Like pound for pound, I would say when I worked for the Florida Panthers, pound for pound was the strongest person on that team, and that includes Ekblad and Sasha Barkov, who wow. are similarly freakish in terms of their strength level and athleticism. Always the fittest guy, one of the most gifted skaters at his, like, pound for pound, his skating ability through the roof. Processing the game has been an issue. Confidence has been an issue. Mike Matheson's also wildly intelligent, and I think he's trended toward being an overthinker. But I think that's a template of player that Rick Tocchet can work well with, right? Like, that to me is appealing. Now,
well, I'll say this. I would much. So what's the on Mike Matheson, right? 62 points last year, but yeah, there's defensive concerns.
Well, the problem is the
you're
problem
not
is,
playing on a power play.
Exactly.
Power play. But it speaks to a level of puck skills and puck moving ability, right? Yeah. That you're still getting. I would much rather at this point the Canucks try to do a rehabilitation project. I'm like, okay, we're going to take the guy with those puck skills and who's 6'2" and strong and turn him into the type of defender we like into the defensive zone rather than take Vincent Desharnais or Noah Juulsen and try to turn them into, a better puck.
Totally.
Right. Like, 100%. Let's take that side of the project thing at this point rather than, keep going at it with the big guys who lack the puck skills.
Well, especially because he's big enough to fit Tocchet's template and, incredibly strong. Like, along the wall, I mean, there are beast mode moments from Mike Matheson. He can go beast mode where it's just like, oh my God, you are an athletic freak. And it's not just speed. It's a speed size combo, right? Look, Matheson's fun to watch, can be a little bit error prone, can overthink a bit. But man, I given the success that Tocchet has had with some defenders that profile similarly, I'd love to see them take a swing like that. That's a shot that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, that's an interesting name to keep an eye on for sure as trade season develops here in the NHL. Lineup notes today, as we mentioned, the team practiced at UBC, and there was no Connor Garland, of course, as Rick Tocchet confirmed, and we passed along. His wife had their baby, so big congratulations to Connor Garland and his family. That's fantastic news. So he was absent, which means Nils Höglander jumps up to take his spot next to Pugh Suter and Dakota Joshua. Everything else the same at the forward position, right? So DeBrusk, Patterson, Sherwood, Blueger, Heinen, Lekkermäki, and then Ratu and Baines, the 10th and 11th forwards. No Hronek at the practice today. So
club citing maintenance, but they don't play till Saturday. So I think that's one where they can say maintenance all they want. We should respond with at least some skepticism.
Yeah, so no Hronek at practice today. So it was Hughes, Desharnais, Susie Myers, Brännström, Juulsen.
Yeah, and then the Besser update, right, which we'll hear Tocchet give himself shortly. And then the, we'll hear from Demko as well.
But potentially.
Yeah. We
might
we're
hear a
running
clip
short
or something
on
from Thatcher Demko.
Sure.
We'll see. Yeah, well, we're running a little short here, so we'll whip through the rest of the whiteboard. I was just going to do a quick playoff Dom's model update, which is
the
not much
have actually
changed.
No, but they've fallen a bit relative to the rest of the league. This
is 102-point projection right now.
Yeah.
And so
but they've been hovering above 105 for most of the season.
Yeah, around there. Yeah. It's been 104 there. Like, It's been in this neighborhood
this
for a
is,
while, I would
this
say.
This is the lowest it's been.
Yes, that's true. But still a 93% chance to make the playoffs. So again, if you're looking for reasons not to press that panic button, you can turn to Dom's model in your time of need here.
Which I will remind you overvalues the Canucks because it doesn't appropriately price the regression risk of this season. The Canucks have fallen more significantly in the betting odds to win the Pacific Division. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense, given that a short-term hit to their win probability across, even if it's just the next four or five games or six games or seven games or however long Miller's out, you know, does more materially impact their ability to win the division, especially with Vegas and Edmonton also in the pool, as opposed to their ability to like make the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? Which you have more margin for error on, or win the Stanley Cup, where the Canucks are, despite sort of the state of the lineup last night and perhaps in Ottawa on Saturday, you know, the Canucks still have the ability to get healthy and then have a really imposing lineup heading into the playoffs. The Canucks have mostly been grouped at like plus 240, right? And usually grouped tightly with Vegas. Right now, odds to win the Pacific Division. The Oilers have gotten a boost, I think, partly because the Canucks' odds are falling. They're plus 160. They're the favorite to win the division. Vegas, plus 200. The Canucks are now in a totally different tier. Plus 360. So 3.5 to 1 to win the division. LA, plus 400. And then everyone else.
All right, that's the whiteboard for today. Let's hear from Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet.
Marcher.
Coming off a last and a solid effort from the team, where is the energy at? We were just talking to Clint about it. So how are you feeling heading into the road trip?
Well, I thought it was great energy. Like we worked on rush again. So I think that's something that when you play teams like the Rangers, Jersey, like really talented rush teams, we got to make sure that we know what we're doing. I thought last game we were a little bit passive. You kind of snuff some plays out. I think if you snuff plays out, you're not going to spend time on the right. So, but for the most part, I thought, I thought some guys got some more ice time. We're looking at some young guys to step up some key moments. It's one of those games where, it came down to one key play and they made it. We didn't. That's really what it comes down to.
Ricky Kunkland, young guys, five games in. Where are you with Johnny, just sort of his body of work from what you've seen? And without JT, who kind of was his safety security, like he did, like, I know last night you were trying to build top line. So where are you? Just what you see in five games from?
Yeah, I think we've thrown a lot at him. I think whether he stays up or not, we can't be afraid to make sure that we develop him properly. I think his play without pucks gotten better defensively. Now he's got to be more instinctual in the offensive end. I think he's a shooter, and sometimes shooters just want to shoot and they kind of stand around. I think he can be a little bit more involved in the offense of going to certain spots, maybe getting to the net, maybe being a bumper play, maybe going behind the net. Like he could do other things, and I think sometimes he just wants to be a shooter. And I think that's probably the next level for him, but he's obviously a talented kid.
How does the sense of coach challenging you? How does this moment challenge you of your leadership?
Yeah, it's, coaches, leadership, organizational-wise, this is you got to hold the fort. Everybody's got to grab a pail and, and to enter some water in the boat. That's really what it comes down to. And, like I said, I love the fact that last night, the Nashville game, and then we have a really good practice. I mean, that's the energy we're talking about. But let's face it, we need some guys. They do have to step it up, and they got to make sure that if you're not scoring, you got to make sure that you're not giving stuff. That was my big last year. It's okay not to score, but you can't give up moments for the other team. You can't lose your man. You can't just dive in when you're not scoring. So I think that's something that we talked about today.
Can you hear that? Three metaphors in that last answer.
What's that?
The boat, the pail, the fort. But anyways.
The fort, yeah.
As a coach, you're used to dealing in timelines with your injured players. This has been something that I'm not sure the market has seen with Thatcher Demko's injury.
Yeah, yeah.
How challenging has it been to sort of continue on not knowing when he's going to be back?
You look at him in practice and he's putting really good days. Like, I mean, he was great in net today. So like, that's a positive. That's the way you got to look at it. I don't know when he's going to play, the timeline. I mean, obviously, it's a lot closer than it was 2 months ago. Let's put it that way. But I just want the guy's confidence, a whole self-confidence, knowing that, if we make a couple mistakes that's in our net, we shouldn't change the way we play. And I thought sometimes last night we were just too passive. We weren't breaking plays up because we're not trusting each other. But last year I felt that we knew this guy was going to do this and this guy was going to do that. Right now we're a little bit off kilter. Is it because of the injuries? Maybe. Is it the new guys? I think you can only use that as an excuse so long. I think it's enough sample size where we got to start to make some headway in that. And I thought the last two games, 5-on-5, we made headway.
Are you hopeful that Thatcher, I know he's going on the trip, are you hopeful that he will play on this trip?
Well, I mean, I'm always hopeful. I mean, if he's putting these kind of practices together, you're really, you know, you feel a lot more comfortable.
Any baby news? And
where? Rose had a baby.
You did?
Yes. I don't know, the cook named Quentin.
Wow.
But not after Quentin Hughes, but the guy in Jaws. What's his name? He's a shark lover. What's the guy? You guys know the Quint. They're Jesus, the captain. Yeah.
So. And what'll Phil today?
Phil maintenance day.
Phil's a maintenance day.
And what because about? He said he skated yesterday. How does that go? And is he going on this trip?
I think he's going on a trip. I haven't talked to the medical staff yet because we have a meeting after this and we decide who's going, but. Whether he skates back to skate or not, we still have to talk about that. Because we have Kroger, our SEALs coach, so if he doesn't play on this trip, obviously he won't come. But we'll see how it goes day to day.
You talked about the rush defense earlier on. Rush Hawk can score two more goals off transition last night.
Who did, the Rangers?
Awesome.
Yeah, sorry.
How are you feeling about that? I know that was a priority and a focus heading into the season. Do you feel like you're getting there?
I thought we spent a lot of time last 2 days on it, and I think it helped. Our middle drive was probably the best I've seen this year, and that's how we scored the goal, middle drives. I think middle drive is something that we've lacked a bit this year, and I think we're getting better at. And when you have a middle drive, you're going to get the goals like Sherwood and Garland because we had a middle drive. So, plus or question, it's been helping.
Rick, one of the trends this season at 5-on-5 for your team is that the defensemen are getting a lot of shots blocked. So it's like you're around 50% of getting pucks on net. Is that just a byproduct of rushing or just trying to get pucks on net?
Well, it's like chess, right? You got to know what you're going to do two moves ahead. So when you know, as you're getting the puck, you got to see what the coverage is. I think sometimes we catch it and we're staring down our option instead of moving your feet. You got to change the lane. That's the way. That's one thing. We got to get better defensively for our forward going out to the defense. I think we got to block better shots. But it's all about your moving your feet and changing your angles.
The saying things about the Sousa years. Yeah, what do they need to do against that team?
Well, I think Mize's game has come on the last couple of games. I think Sousa got to get his confidence up. I think everything is magnified. Everything he does, it's in our net. And I talked with him today. He's close. I would like to see him, and I told him, is just get into people a little bit harder. That's when he's at his best. I could say it a better player, but I'm a big believer is you got to get people, you saw the Zibanejad's goal, I think it was Rats. You got to take a stick. You can't just be with a guy. I think that's one thing we got to get better at, whether it's Susie or Ratty or whoever, Petey. You got to get into people, and I think we haven't been as good as getting into people, but we're getting better, I guess.
I know it's easier to change your forward lines, but so far this year, you've seen a lot of different combination there. But the defense pairs have stayed relatively the same.
Right. Have you considered breaking things up or changing things up?
Well, I think, we'll see, but we might have to go that route if it doesn't get better. I'm not blaming anybody, but, sometimes maybe a fresh guy or something might help. I think we're still in a Myers and Susu are a really good pair for us in the playoffs. High pressure games. So, obviously we got to get better and we might have to switch it, but, whether it's next game or not, I'm not sure.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet after practice today out at UBC. And the big thing there is Tocchet, team hold the fort. Use that and a couple of other analogies about buckets and pails, as our guy Ivac pointed out.
And then got
boats
and
pails.
And then got arrested by Ian McIntyre of the Metaphor Police.
That was fantastic.
There's
I love
a Radiohead song about that, I'm sure.
Fantastic that Rick Tockett on our wavelength. Hold the fort. It's hold the fort season. Okay, just before we go here, we have a very quick clip from Thatcher Demko speaking to the media for the first time since Penticton, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. When he held court there. So good sign in and of itself that he's speaking to the media. And here's an update on Demko's health from the man himself, Thatcher Demko.
You know, shortly after Penticton, we really nailed down what the issue was specifically, which was nice to finally kind of understand what was going on. And that gave us a clear picture of different options that we had moving forward. And, you know, it was kind of just trial and error at that point. And we ended up finding something that worked really well for me.
So there's just a little bit of the update from Thatcher Demko. And I find it interesting, right? Him saying, yeah, after Penticton, we started to zero in on what was going on and what the options were. And I'm sure you'll hear more clips from, we don't have time to play them, but from Thatcher Demko discussing his situation, the road he's taken. But, you know, we all know it's been a difficult one for him, and we'll see now. I mean, as I said, good that he's talking to the media, good that he's saying they've learned a lot more, but they're in a good place. And it feels most real now than it has ever that he's going to be coming back soon.
No media going on the trip, right? So if you're going to make him available prior to him playing, you kind of had to do it here. Not a firm indication, but certainly a sign that maybe
that it's a possibility
they'll get him back on this road swing.
That's it for us. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow here with more Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650.